All right. Hello, everyone. My name is Thomas Mullinex, and welcome to Black Ops for Business, for private businesses. This is a special edition. We're actually going to hit a nonprofit organization, and I've got a good friend of mine with me, Jeff Chadwick with Mission Centers of Houston. Jeff, thanks for being here.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So before we get started, tell us a little bit about Mission Centers of Houston.
Well, Mission Centers of Houston is a longstanding organization. We're focused on meeting the physical and spiritual needs of people living in the inner city in Houston. Been there since about 1962. Our primary mission locations are in the near north side of Houston. So if you're at the Minute Maid Park and you look just a little north, we're only about 2 miles north of there. It's a little community up in that area that's been under resource community for many, many years. And the other community we serve is over in Magnolia Park, which is east of Houston, downtown. So if you go from the stadium directly east, kind of along navigation, and you go about as far as you can get when you get to the ship channel, there's a little community called Magnolia Park, and that's our other area, another very under-resourced community. And we help through a myriad of ways. One way we do it is we have food pantries at both locations because we know that there's so much food insecurity, especially in the Houston area. And so we serve close to 30,000 people a year through our food pantries.
Wow.
We also minister to the homeless in the near north side. There's a significant homeless community in and around there downtown, especially on the north side, and we help them out. We don't do lodging, but we do meals, and we put together things that they need, like clothing and toiletry items and food to go, things like that. But then probably the thing that I like the most about our ministry is we engage people of all ages in our communities in programs that are inside of our centers. We have what we call community centers, and inside those centers we have programs. So we'll have programs for kids aged through 4 through 10. We have youth programs aged 11 through 18. We have senior adult programs, and we have programs designed for like moms of and couples where they can engage in Bible studies and things like that. Most of what we do, we're faith-based, so we always have a message of hope to bring, because we know that God will bring the true hope they need in difficult times. So that's what we do, and we just do it through a lot of different ways, a lot of special programs. We do training. We have college interns come with us, and they spend 9 weeks every summer, and we do a huge amount of work in the summer. And we'll have anywhere from 12 to 15 college interns spend 9 solid weeks. They live with us at the centers. And so we kind of are a training for the next generation to help them understand how to help people that are in need.
That's fantastic. That is absolutely fantastic. And, I know you and your wife, Cheryl, pretty well. And I know you are, almost live down there, quite often. So I really appreciate the work that you do. And I'm actually a native Houstonian. So anything that can help my hometown is absolutely fantastic. But being any type of business, whether it's a nonprofit organization, a private business, public business, all of us deal with theft, fraud, internal errors that can be impactful. Have you dealt with anything like this in your organization?
Yeah, not so much on the fraud perspective. We're a pretty small organization, and we only have 5 full-time and 6 part-time employees. Lots and lots of volunteers. So we have to be really careful with volunteers as far as fraud goes. We're more concerned about their backgrounds. So, are they coming in and do they have a clean background? So we do background checks. Anybody that's going to work with a minor, anybody under the age of 18, we background check, no exceptions at all. And those who come in and help in other areas, we have to kind of keep a close eye on them. Sometimes people come in, and even though you think, hey, they're here to help out, sometimes they think it's an easy target. So we just stay really aware of our surroundings and what people are looking at. As far as fraud, like electronic fraud, man, we'll get that from time to time, like related to credit cards. But we've got checks and balances set up. Like if we have any credit card charge that goes over $50, I get an email or a text automatically. So I have that set up. Same thing with our bank accounts. Anything that happens, that's over and above a set limit, it notifies me right away. And we've got a good relationship with our creditors in our bank so that we can handle those situations. I haven't had too many of those. Every once in a while you get something like that. Being in these communities, especially if you buy gas at the gas station, somebody's always there trying to figure out how to rip off your credit card number or something like that. And so we'll have to.
Well, you know, I can honestly say that there are times, there are certain areas of Houston that if I use my credit card to get gas, it's going to be flagged and I won't be able to get gas at that gas station because the banks just say, you're normally not in that area. We know that there, it's rampant with fraud and it's sad, but it's the world we live in, right? Though it's great that you've got the extra controls in place and the balances like that, the checks and balances. That's outstanding.
And we also
remember, right? Go ahead.
No, I was going to say through our insurance company as well, you know, we make sure that we have, any kind of fraud that's going to happen against us from the outside, we've got protections in there. So we're covered up to a certain amount. You know, if we lose all of a sudden, you know, our bank account gets drained or whatever. So we make sure we carry that type of insurance for things that we can't control. We're not smart enough to do it. We can't have an IT staff. So just pay a little extra, make sure you're insured at least, and then put these little checks and balances in place for when things don't look normal.
Absolutely. And, you know, all of this is really great advice for other nonprofit organizations. You know, you don't have this huge budget for an IT department. You don't have a huge budget to add a lot of headcount, but you do take advantage of any kind of opportunities you have, or you get the insurance to help protect you financially. Absolutely. Those are everything you're saying is great advice for other nonprofits. And honestly, even private businesses, you know, that they're looking to try to grow, but they know they need to take care of themselves as well. So a lot of what you're saying is just really great advice for other organizations. If I remember correctly, a little while back, or maybe it might have been more than a little while ago now, but if I remember correct, sorry, I have to point out a friend of mine here. I've got Robert Berry chiming in, waving his hand. Hello, Mr. Robert Berry. Great to see you, my friend. You know, if you're raising your hand to say hi, hello, Mr. Berry. If you're asking a question, type it in the chat. I'll definitely bring you in here, or if you have any comments. So thank you for joining in, my friend. So Jeff, if I remember correctly, a couple of years ago, I think, you had some equipment stolen from you, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I think that's probably in our communities. You know, we've got property we got to keep up. So we have anything from power washer to lawnmowers and weed eaters and whatever other kind of power equipment that we need, chainsaws. And we have to keep those on site, of course. And we have these sheds, almost like if you have a shed in your backyard. And we keep them chained up and a lock around them. And then we have fences that go all around our property. So those fences also help, you know, thwart some of those efforts. However, it's amazing what people will do if they know you have something in there. And the best thing that people can steal is power equipment, lawn care equipment, because they can take that right to the pawn shop and get it taken care of, you know, get the money they need. They can, a lot of times we see homeless people do this, you know, they, especially in the communities where we are, they're going to take it and they're going to use it for drugs or for alcohol. So sometimes they get pretty desperate. They'll do whatever it takes. We've had fences cut through a couple months ago. I mean, all of our gates are locked, our sheds were locked, chain shut, and I came in one day and the front gate's a little bit ajar, but not big enough where you can get anything through. But somehow they got into our shed, cut the lock off, and they took all of the power equipment. So we had lawnmowers, we had a power washer, we had a number of things stolen, and it's like they targeted and knowing when we weren't going to be there. So what we did was we decided, you know what we're going to do? We're going to install security cameras all the way around. We didn't have that. Security cameras aren't going to stop them, but when they know they're there, they're going to be hindered. And if we can at least get on video who did it, then we can approach them. And once you approach the person and you know who did it, you may never get anything to stick, but they're not going to do it again. So
absolutely,
you know, that's the best we can do at this point. You know, you might be able to show the footage to the police and if this is a recurring person. But we've got, I don't know, at the one location, we've got a bunch of cameras set up all around, you know, all over the place. Our second location, we don't have cameras set up, but our directors live directly across the street, and they actually have Ring video, and so they kind of monitor that, and they keep it recorded, so we can see, and that's really helped cut things down.
I'm sure it's really, really helped. And, you know, another option, if anyone's watching this or listening to the podcast later on and they're like, well, that's great, but I don't have the money for video equipment. I don't have the money for the recording, for the monitoring. Even if it's an old, camera that's not actually attached to anything, if they think they're being watched or if they think you're watching your equipment, that's going to deter a lot of theft as well. So even putting up some of the fake stuff, I worked in retail a long, long time ago. And one of the companies I worked for, over half of the black pods that you see up in the ceiling were fake, but they were just there. So that way you didn't know which ones were real cameras and which ones were not. And it deterred a lot of theft because they just thought that area was being watched. So that's a great idea.
Yeah, it's easy to get one of you get a real camera, just don't wire it. And it looks perfectly real. And you got a model on the side of the wall pointed right at where somebody might come in. It works.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I thought about the other idea I had was to have some kind of recording of a really mean dog, a guard dog, you know, that would go off by motion detected. But we didn't.
I like it. Just bark, 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 bark. Yeah. You know, Robert Berry's dropping in here with, yes, perception is a good deterrent. Absolutely. Absolutely right. And, you know, I actually had someone before the show started chime in saying that trust is not a control. And that is so important. And Galena, so this young lady, Galena, I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce the rest of her name here, but Ms. Galena, she's actually a Houstonian as well. So Galena, thank you for coming in. Yeah, motion lights, you know, having the little motion sensor lights. So that way, if they start to get in an area, you know, all of a sudden the lights come up and, you know, they start walking away. I've got a few around my own home, to be honest with you, just to keep that added protection there. But
yeah, and you know what? We actually did that too. We decided we'd go with dusk to dawn. So pretty much all the spots where, you know, you would have to enter, those places are all lit up all night long. So that helped. That seems to have helped as well. We haven't had any problems here in the past year. So
good. Very good. And, you know, if you just put in a whole bunch of thorn bushes and, you know, poison ivy and, you know, that'll help too, I'm sure. All right. So like I said, Jeff, at the beginning of this, I like to keep these short and sweet. I try not to go on too long. But one thing I do want to include on this, though, tell us again, you know, what's the website and how can we help support Mission Centers of Houston?
I appreciate that. Our website's really easy. It's www.missioncenters.org. And everything's on there. If you go to our website, we just redesigned it not too long ago, and it's very informative. It has a lot of good information on there. There's places if you want to get involved from a volunteer standpoint. You fill out a form, but it actually goes to my wife. She coordinates all of our volunteer efforts, and she will get in touch with you to figure out, you know, how you can get involved. One thing we're going to focus on next year is more education, especially in the older students, you know, from age 11 to 18. We really want them to stay in school. We want them to value education. We started a scholarship fund, and actually we're going to have that page go live on our website real soon. And our goal is we're going to give away some money for those who are either going to college or a trade school, any place that's accredited, they get into, and they're going to be able to apply and fill out all the application material and write an essay and hopefully we'll have some money to contribute to them to help with their education. So, you know, as we get involved more in this area, there might be opportunities for people to come aboard that can do more one-on-one mentoring with students, offering some of the encouragement and training and different skill sets. And of course, the other one is, you know, making a donation to us. We rely almost 100% on donations from individuals and churches and a few foundations, but most of it comes from individuals. And we like it that way because that keeps people connected. You know, we don't want to rely on the government to provide funding. We'll take funding if it comes along and it's easy to get and it's for a, like a disaster relief effort, because we do that kind of work too. But on an ongoing basis to do all of our programs, the more people that contribute and help out, the better it is. And so that's how we run it.
Absolutely. That's fantastic. And yeah, I know I haven't been able to get down there yet myself. I believe my wife, my daughter have been down there, but I've not been able to get down there. I look forward to getting down there. Is there a particular age range for volunteers that you either prefer or that you don't prefer? Because I know there's some great places that you can bring your kids and they can help out, and others they're like, let's keep the kids away. Is this a whole family affair or what?
It can be. That's my wife's specialty item is she loves to figure out, okay, if you want to bring your family, you say, hey, I want to bring my family down and volunteer for a day. Well, you can come for a week and stay at our centers. You know, as a family, we do family mission trips. In fact, we've got a family coming up over winter break here the first week of January. He's going to come from, I forget where they're coming from, some state. My wife knows, but they'll come and they'll stay. And there's several families on a family mission trip. But you can come and just for a morning. The individuals, we like to try to get you involved in our programs. It's a little difficult because our programs operate during the day, and if it's related to kids or youth, it's after school. And so you've got to have a time frame in mind of somewhere like from the 3 to 6 p.m. range, and that makes it tough on some people. But some people's schedules allow it, and they can get involved. And you don't have to be involved on a regular basis. It can be on a rotational basis. Be happy for you to do that. And if you have an interest, you feel like this is something you want to get involved in after looking at the website, just go on there, fill out a little request form. My wife will get in touch with you and she can custom tailor a volunteer opportunity for you.
Sounds great. I did drop a link to your website in the chat there, and it's up on the screen. For those that are listening on the podcast, it'll be in the description, but it is missioncenters.org. Jeff, thank you again for chiming in. And honestly, I had the idea of you know, joining me and hopefully giving you some advice on how to help the organization, but you actually gave a lot of great input and advice for other nonprofits to hopefully apply and be able to use. It sounds like you've got a lot of good controls in place. So with that, we will wrap things up. Thanks again, Jeff, for joining me. I appreciate you taking the time today. I know you're a very busy man.
Well, thank you for having me, and I appreciate everybody that's watching or listening. God bless you all.
All right. You have a great one. Thank you. Mm-hmm.